Hi, everybody. Welcome to the first edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show in 2018. I am Ryan Ballingy, and it is great to have you here with us to start off a new year of the show, depending on when you think we started. I think we were 2002, and whether continuity matters because we didn't do this for a few years. This is technically the 16th year the show has existed, somewhere about the 13th or 14th year we've done it. So really happy to have you along with us. We're going to try to do the show two times a week this year. So on Tuesdays and either Thursdays or Fridays. Probably Thursday so we can get the beginning of tournaments going and have a conversation about that. And then Tuesday is more of a recap of what happened or a preview of what's coming up. And again, the Thursday we'll probably try to have a guest for the Thursday shows more often than not. And that'll be the time we talk about not only the tournaments coming up, but also have people who or working on interesting things or doing cool things or reporting or all those that good stuff. So that's kind of the schedule for the year. But these things haven't changed. You can get a hold of me on Twitter, at Ryan Ballingy. You can get a hold of Golf News Net on your favorite social media service, at Golf News Net. Download the GNN radio app for your favorite mobile device. You can download the GNN app for your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And we are presented by 2Under. 2Under makes some of the best performance underwear on the planet, period, full stop. And we are so happy to be working with them this year on advertising and a marketing campaign to get you, the golfer, aware of your underwear. And 2Under makes some of the best out there with performance materials that help you feel good while you're on the golf course, that don't cause you to feel any kind of skin irritation, that keep your gentlemen nice and warm and keep them where they need to be instead of kind of dangling all over the place. And they're designed specifically for a golfer in mind, the kind of walk that you go on when you play golf and the kind of movement that you make when you make a golf swing. 2Under, UNDR.com. Check them out. Most importantly, throughout the entire year, you're going to be able to save big bucks with us, not only with 2Under, with others as well, as you can find out on our website, golfnewsnet.com. We'll tell you about all those things. But 2Under.com is where you can purchase. And if you use the code GNN20, you're going to get 20% off your order. Not your first order, every order. I'm really excited about that. These are great pairs of underwear, great performance fabrics. It's not just underwear. They have all kinds of other things that will improve your performance in terms of how you feel on the golf course, how you move on the golf course. But you get 20% off everything with GNN20. So head over to 2Under.com, use that code, save some money, stock up, and kick that awful, old, terrible underwear that you use every day, not only to the office, but you wear on the golf course, and you've had it for years, and it's time to go. 2Under.com, GNN20, do it today. More sponsors to tell you about. We'll have a rotating cast of them for the show, and we'll have one at the halfway mark, but wanted to kick it off with 2Under and thank them for their sponsorship this year. Let's start. 2018 begins. It's underway. We got a great start to the year in terms of sport. We had two great college football playoff games, one more exciting than the other. I hope you enjoy the Rose Bowl game. It's probably the best you're ever going to see it. We also got to see, if you're a darts fan like me, a new world champion in Rob Cross. He decimated the 16-time world champion Phil the Power Taylor in his final match. He walks off into retirement, loses in the final to Rob Cross with an astonishing performance from the Englishman, who was literally a year ago just an electrician sitting on his couch when a member of his family dragged him to a UK Open qualifier. A year later, he's the world champion of darts and won £400,000 yesterday. Pretty amazing stuff. So, what will golf bring for us in 2018? We have so many awesome possibilities, given what we saw in 2017 and even 2016 to an extent. We could have another great year for Justin Thomas, building on that Player of the Year, that PGA Championship winning, that FedEx Cup winning year. We have that as a definitive storyline. He can become number two in the world this week with a win at the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. We could have Jon Rahm, who got in the top four in the world ranking to end the year in his rookie season, first full season, let me say. Not rookie season, first full season as a professional. That's amazing what he has accomplished in approximately 18 months as a professional. Remarkable. He could become a number two player in the world if he wins this week and the right things happen. You have Dustin Johnson, who remains the world number one because he built such an advantage in 2016 and the first part of 2017 that it was insurmountable for pretty much any player to do anything short of winning six tournaments in a row that could catch him. And then you have Jordan Spieth, who may not have been quite as prolific in terms of winning as he was in 2015, but he had the most dramatic win in a major championship, I would argue, at the Open Championship against Matt Kuchar, at least the final five holes, although you could put the Masters up there for it. And then he still was great. I mean, he was great. And can he continue to do that and win at a pace that leads him toward a historical marker of being one of the top 10 most prolific champions in PGA Tour history, or where does that go? And those are just some of the young guys. You've got Ricky Hideki, Patrick Cantlay, Ollie Snyderjans, I think is going to do something. Austin Cook won, could be special. Xander Schauffele, who won twice, including the Tour Championship. Got more guys to go down the line on that front. You've got older guys. Justin Rose closed the year being the most unstoppable golfer on the planet. Is he going to continue that in 2018? Could he win a second major championship? If his form holds from the end of 2017, he's going to win the Masters. You should lay money on Justin Rose to win the Masters. He should be in a lot of your fantasy pools. In fact, you should tune into our fantasy podcast, The Four Bucks Show, the second episode, which will go off tomorrow, Wednesday, January 3rd. But we'll come back to that. Ken Sergio, who just made it formal that he's with Callaway Golf now, it was a really poorly kept secret. Will he have a chance to win another major championship? Could Phil Mickelson become the oldest major champion, just shy of it, in history, and certainly the oldest U.S. Open winner in history at Shinnecock Hills? Could he avenge that 2004 loss in an incredible back nine to Retief Goosen at Shinnecock and get his U.S. Open complete the career Grand Slam? Then there's Tiger, just turned 42. Looked pretty good for the most part at the Hero World Challenge, a tournament where admittedly 17 out of 18 guys weren't grinding probably the same way he was. But he played great, showed some signs. Showed some signs of rust and some other issues too, but overwhelmingly looked positive. Can he win? What's his schedule going to look like? Is he going to play much? Will he show some signs before the Masters, good or bad? We don't know that. There's a lot to be answered. And that's all on individual questions. That's before we start talking about the Ryder Cup. It's a Ryder Cup year. It's awesome. They're going to Paris. They're going to France for the first time for the Ryder Cup. Can the United States team win a Ryder Cup in Europe for the first time since 1993? And you know the Americans are thinking about that. And part of the reason why they're thinking about that is because Tiger and Phil have been thinking about that for a very long time. And I'm sure that factors, and so too has Jim Furyk, who lost quite prolifically in a career that spanned that generational ass-kicking from Europe. Well, those guys had that on the mind. And the second on Sunday, so basically at dawn on Sunday, of the President's Cup, when the Americans clinched the President's Cup, there was an interview with Phil Mickelson on NBC, and Mickelson had already turned the page. I mean, he knew he was going to win the President's Cup on Saturday, so he could start thinking about it on early Sunday. But he started talking immediately about trying to win a Ryder Cup in Europe next year. Now, this year. Because it hasn't been done in 25 years. The reason Tom Watson was brought back as the American Ryder Cup captain for Glen Eagles in 2014 was the thought by Ted Bishop that having the guy who did it last on the road, Tom Watson, would lead to a rejuvenation of the Americans' performance on the road. Didn't happen. But, perhaps ironically, it did lead to the creation of the Ryder Cup Committee and the task force and everything that came about. As a result of that, it led to a different approach to the Ryder Cup, more inclusive, better messaging, more involvement from the top guys of the last generation that kind of felt Europe's wrath pretty hard. And now those guys are so bloodthirsty, and you can see it in the way they conduct themselves. They are bloodthirsty. They may not be competing at the same level like Phil, although he's had some incredible matches in both the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup the last couple go-arounds. Or like Tiger is not competing, but I guess he can conceivably still make the Ryder Cup team. The points really just keep going now. But those guys, whether they're on the sideline or in the competition, they're the puppet masters. They're getting these young guys riled up and telling them that they could be the next generation that just turns the tide, that wins everything all the time. And I'm very impressed by their ability to motivate multimillionaires to just throat stomp. And they've been doing it for the last couple of years. And I think that they probably could have started it in 2015 at the President's Cup. But there was a little inspiration there, playing it in Korea, changing the format, some stuff. That there was nothing like that this time. Nothing like that. And more young guys are coming online to play. None of them have the scar tissue. In fact, they've got the opposite. It's going to be fascinating to me to see what happens in the Ryder Cup. So we've got a lot to look forward to this year. And we have no idea how any of it's going to play out. And there are probably stories that we haven't even considered yet. I don't think anyone would have figured Patrick Cantlay would move up 1,600 spots in the world ranking, basically, in calendar 2017 on the back of like 15 starts. I don't think you would have predicted that. Even for as great of a talent Patrick Cantlay is and what he showed before his back and neck injuries and the unfortunate circumstances around his friend's death, which he saw and experienced in person, I don't think anyone would have predicted that. Not into the top 50 in the world, top 40 in the world. So, certainly probably wouldn't have predicted Xander Schauffele. I mean, he's a great player, but I don't think you saw that coming. Well, on the women's side, we've got so much kind of bunched up nature at the top. I mean, with So-Yeon Yoo, Sung-Hyun Park, Lexi Thompson, you can kind of go down the line of, will Lydia Ko come back and start to reform? She started to show signs of that. Will MB Park make one more run at it before kind of apparently getting out the door? There's a lot of possibility there on the women's game, too. Will we still see a dominant Barnard Langer in 2018? Will he continue to win and maybe challenge the all-time PGA Tour champion's record win total from Hale Irwin? Not that far off, seasons off, but not that far off as he, certainly not as far off as he was entering 2017. Could he keep that up? Could that be a reasonable threat? Who will develop on the web.com tour? Always an interesting question. We'll see what young guys show up and what they can do with it. Will Maverick McNealy, who was so highly touted in college, and for good reason, will he pan out immediately and become a great professional, or will it take some time? That's interesting to look at, too. So much to work with, and we're just getting started. We're in week one. Week one of the year. We've got this big tournament. We've got the Century Tournament of Champions, and I'm excited about that because I like Kapalua, and I like the Hawaii tournaments, and one, because I think it's 11 degrees outside, and it feels like it's 42 in my office because there's some kind of ventilation problem, and it just is nice to see sunshine and not snow on the ground like we have here. And it's fun to watch golf in prime time. It's a little bit more laid back, a little bit easier stride into the year. These guys are playing great golf. I love watching a Coore Crenshaw course. I'd rather play one, but love watching one. And it's cool. It's good atmosphere. And it's a good precursor to the NFL playoffs, and a good precursor to the college football championship game next week. So it's nice and easy to watch, easy to kind of get started with the year. Got 34 players in the field, 3 guys chose who won since the last Tournament of Champions to not play. Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, Henrik Stenson, they're all Europeans. Kind of makes sense. Mostly the Europeans don't do this. They don't come over to Hawaii for whatever reason. They just don't play the tournament. Some will play the Sony Open, but some will play the Tournament of Champions, which is kind of weird because it's free money to play the Tournament of Champions. Not free money to play the Sony Open. That said, the unique nature of the Tournament of Champions is that it's winners only, no cut, so you have to earn your way there. There's no invitation, you just got to win and you're in. That it's the only core Crenshaw on the PGA Tour. Obviously, there aren't that many to pick from, but it is interesting that that's the only one, and it's an early core Crenshaw. And then that it's Hawaii. So you got all those unique things working for you. So who wins? I mean, who's going to do well? Who's going to not do well? Obviously, you're going to get a good payday regardless, so there's kind of no incentive to play conservative golf. That's why, as the only par 73 on the PGA Tour, the winning score is usually 20 under and above, unless there's a lot of wind. And we've had that in the past. But you got to look at guys like Jordan Spieth, who's never finished worse than third in this event. I think you got to look at Ricky Fowler. I think he could have a big year ahead. Certainly got to look at top names like Justin Thomas, who closed the year with some solid golf. Dustin Johnson closed with his best golf and kind of melted away at the HSBC Champions, but he did have a six-shot lead. You got to look at someone like Austin Cook, who won the RSM Classic and played great. Brian Harman played great throughout the fall portion of the schedule. What about Bryson DeChambeau, who was apparently mistaken as a resort worker by some fans who wanted him to take a picture of them, not them to take a picture with him, which I thought was kind of funny. So we'll find out. That starts Thursday. They've tried this in the past where they've done Saturday to Monday. We are back to Thursday to Sunday. So tune in accordingly. Golf Channel has all of that, has all of the Sony Open in Hawaii, and all of the Career Builder Challenge, and then we start getting on network television on the weekends, and we'll deal with that when that comes. But Golf Channel is your source for everything going into the first three tournaments of the year. Before we head into the second half of the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our new sponsor for this year, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, like golfers, especially if you like to walk, runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. Health IQ can do this. They save customers up to 33% on life insurance plans, and on average, 56% of their customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance because active people have lower risks for a variety of things that life insurers get scared about. And frankly, you should be scared about too. And that's because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, a 20% lower risk of cancer of all kinds, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. Hint, if you're not walking when you play golf, walk when you play golf. So, like saving money with your car insurance for being a good driver, Health IQ saves you money on your life insurance for living a health-conscious lifestyle. They partner with top-rated life insurers to give you exclusive rates that are lower than the average person would pay because they know and you can demonstrably prove that you're health-conscious and you're active. So, we wanted to tell you about them because being health-conscious, being in a sport that requires you to be a little bit physically active, is good, but you can also take advantage of that by saving some money on life insurance, getting a good term policy, having a nice umbrella underneath or above you as you go through life. And it's someone who has previously worked in the life insurance industry when I was in college, I know the value of a good life insurance plan. So, to see if you qualify, you can get your free quote today at healthiq.com/19. One more time, healthiq.com/19. All right, so let's get into the second half of our show here. And that's kind of how we're going to do it all year, about 30 to 35 minutes if we can, as we've always done it. So if you're new to the show, listening on Spotify or elsewhere, thank you for giving us some of your time, and we appreciate it. The one thing I want to talk about in the second half of the show is a little bit more related to equipment. So today's the day when a lot of companies will start to announce all their signees for the new year, because a lot of guys have deals that run on equipment through the end of a calendar year. Although we're starting to see that change a little bit, but for the most part, it is a calendar year deal. So you play somebody's equipment from January to December 31st, and once that year ends, your deal ends. But as we know with the PGA Tour now, and the European Tour has been this way for a long time, but with the PGA Tour, there are more tournaments that better players and more notable players who get these kinds of higher dollar sponsorships, they're playing in the fall. They're playing in October, November. And so it creates a little bit of an awkward time, because if you're a player who's trying to earn FedEx Cup points in that early portion of the season, try to not get behind the eight ball a little bit, and you play maybe one, two, three tournaments out of those seven that are available right now. There'll probably be more coming. But if you play in those, you're playing under a deal from that current year, not for a new season. And so you're at this awkward point because you really have a limited amount of time if you play a certain number of tournaments in the fall to be able to test, to find new equipment. I mean, these signings are done well in advance, so it's not like it's the biggest secret in the world in terms of golf circles, but you also still have a deal to honor with your current company, so you're not out there playing new stuff, you're not testing new stuff while you're playing, but you need some time to be able to carve out to do that kind of privately more often than not. And then when the time comes, usually the first weekday of the new year, which is today, January 2nd, then everybody announces everything. And it's, this guy moved here, and she moved there, and they're all doing this, and they're wearing that now. And we're kind of hitting the reset button on the calendar year before tournament golf starts on Thursday at Kapalua. And the biggest move that I've seen so far, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be the biggest move we're going to see at all, is Sergio Garcia. And he moved formally from TaylorMade after, 15 years there, to Callaway. So he's going to be on the Callaway staff. He's going to play Callaway stuff through the bag, all through the bag. And he's also going to wear Adidas clothing. So that's a unique twist. We'll get back to that in a second. But I think Sergio Garcia is a really interesting case study because he announced in the fall, along with TaylorMade, they were amicably splitting. That was it. They're getting away from each other after all this time. And that was a cost-related decision to some extent because Sergio Garcia is getting close to 40 and they kind of needed money to make the sponsorships with Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy work. And the Rory one kind of came out of, not thin air, but sort of thin air, after the Masters, when he bemoaned playing the Pro V1X. He didn't like how it worked in the wind, and he complained about it publicly, and he had been using some Callaway equipment to start the year, and he had fallen in love with the TP5X ball from TaylorMade, and said, well, what the hell, I'm going to play all your stuff, play the whole bag, TaylorMade equipment. It was a unique window with Rory, because it played out kind of publicly, and then all of a sudden, TaylorMade had an opportunity to sign Rory McIlroy. So you do it. So they have on their staff now Tiger, Rory, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Justin Rose, John Rahm. I mean, that's amazing. That's a lot of top 15 talent and one of the world's greatest golfers to ever have lived on your staff. Believe it or not, that made the Masters champion the odd guy out. And Sergio, being the Masters champion, probably didn't want to take a pay cut to stick with TaylorMade, which had just been acquired by KPS Capital. You know, they're going to go through the books and try to figure out ways to save money while still being competitive and innovative and all that good stuff. And so, all right, well, Sergio, man, we need you to take less money or we can let you walk. And you can go and try and get that one last big deal in before you get into your 40s and maybe you're not quite as competitive and you've kind of started to hit the sunset of your career. And they obliged. And the intriguing part about that is not only that that was made public, but that Sergio went through the equipment testing process at European Tour events. And he was starting to play Callaway equipment during the final few events of the European Tour schedule. He was I mean, he was just blatantly doing it. There was no, like, he was in a practice round playing Callaway. I mean, he was a free agent, obviously, but you could kind of see the writing on the wall. It wasn't that difficult to understand. All right, well, Sergio's testing Callaway stuff, so it's all Callaway stuff. All right, well, he had a Toulon design putter during the PGA Tour playoffs, so that might have been a hint, too. And he's playing the Callaway ball, and then he gets asked about it during the news conference because enterprising media obviously have two sets or two eyeballs, and they go, okay, well, he's playing Callaway, he's testing Callaway. My God, I think he's going to sign with Callaway. And they ask him, he goes, well, I hope we can get the deal done. Probably the deal was done or is awfully close. I mean, he kind of knew where he was going. Otherwise, he wouldn't have talked about it. And so he basically gave it away. And then the odd thing about contracts was he probably had some kind of buyout, non-compete, whatever that terminology might have been with TaylorMade, where he couldn't formally sign with somebody until January 1st. So that those I's were dotted, T's were probably crossed yesterday or, you know, forward dated or whatever. And then they can announce it today. And that's the big move. Guy's in his late 30s, been around for 20 years, just won his first major. He's going to cash in a little bit, and he's going to play some Callaway clubs. And there's no reason not to be excited about playing Callaway equipment. They make great stuff, just the same as Taylor. I mean, it's not the same stuff, but they, all like TaylorMade, make very good stuff. And there's no reason he shouldn't be excited about that. The other things that we've seen so far are really not as big. Seen some signings on the fashion front. Adidas announced a bunch of them. Xander Schauffele, who they signed out the gate, has got a better deal now because he's a two-time PGA Tour winner and the Tour champion and the Rookie of the Year. So, good for him. They signed Tyrrell Hatton. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. We'll see where he goes with other stuff. I mean, he had an incredible last couple of years. And Garcia re-signed with Adidas. So, I mean, he when he's even with TaylorMade Adidas, the Adidas logo was at the front. It wasn't a TaylorMade logo at the front of his hat. So, you kind of knew that probably would stick around. But we're in an interesting era now because club companies aren't necessarily vertically integrated with fashion companies, not at least all the way around. You know, Nike used to do everything Nike. It was all the clothes and all the clubs and nothing else. You had no other choice. Well, they got out of equipment. They kept signing guys, and they kept guys that they already had signed wearing Nike stuff. They just let them go play anything else. And so you saw that interesting diaspora. So many guys went to the TaylorMade driver, ultimately settled out in different places, but a lot of them went to with TaylorMade product in some fashion. Maybe they didn't go through the bag. Maybe they just went driver and woods and then found their own irons or whatever it was. So there's kind of been this uncoupling, this decoupling from what we kind of knew for a few years and now really don't know anymore. It's kind of neat. It's kind of cool to see how the capital moves because the market has changed and what the fallout will be. And that ultimately, the trend I think we're seeing in terms of this kind of spend from these equipment companies is that it's kind of decreasing. That I think club companies, by and large, not universally, but by and large, see less value or less validation provided by tour players for their equipment. Because, frankly, none of us really play the same game as those guys. Like, I was at the Kingdom for this, the TaylorMade M3 and M4 event where they unveiled the product, kind of told us about the twist face technology, hammerhead, let us hit the clubs, went through a fitting, and as we're finishing up with that in the afternoon, Dustin Johnson rolls up, starts hitting wedges on the range they have at the facility because he was going to give a demonstration the next day, and he's got to practice. He's best in the world. He's got to do his job. And he's hitting just crisp wedge shot after wedge shot. Next day, he's hitting just murdering drives down the range. Probably could have taken it out pretty easily. For the record, I did hop one out, so I felt very good about that. But his ball speed, his swing speed, are dramatically faster than mine. And I could swing like 110 and feel pretty good about it. He can swing 122, 124. He can get as high as 130. That's crazy talk. And I swing fast. Most people don't. They swing 90, 95, maybe 80, 85, but probably 90, 95. They're nowhere near Dustin Johnson. None of us are. And so when we're trying to compare our games to guys like Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy or Jason Day, the guys that are winning trophies left and right that are long. I mean, Jordan Spieth is long. He's just got putting that we can't recreate. Then it just doesn't resonate. Like, all right, well, Jason Day's playing that driver. And it looks awesome doing it. But his spec is nowhere near my spec. And I need completely different help than he does. Hint, you really don't. It's just degrees of help. But it doesn't seem to have the same kind of resonance. And maybe it once did. I don't know that it ever really did. I mean, I've never personally played a piece of equipment, bought or otherwise, because a tour player plays it. And maybe that's in part because I know what I'm playing is nowhere near what they're playing in terms of certain specs. You know, the shaft is tremendously different, customized. They've gone through a fitting process with hours on TrackMan to get exactly where it needs to be. You don't typically get that benefit if you're even just a consumer. You're not typically getting that benefit of that kind of attention. You might get a good fitting, but not that kind of attention. And if you get the equipment like we do in the media, sometimes for free out front, you don't typically go through this kind of fitting like at the Kingdom, where they kind of get you dialed in pretty well and go through a pretty exhaustive set of changes and shafts and settings and things to get you where you need to be. So, again, if you're the average golfer, I don't think it really means that much. I just don't. I think you are going to play one of two things. One, if you're independently minded, you're going to go and test a boatload of things, you know, whether it's drivers, fairway woods, whatever the piece of equipment is. You're going to test a bunch of them. You're going to go to a fitter if you're doing it right. That fitter is going to put you on a launch monitor. You're going to see which performs best, and you pick the winner. And sometimes you want to be in a certain brand or a certain type of iron, and you can get talked out of those because the data doesn't lie. I mean, aesthetic matters. Well, looks matters. How you feel over the ball matters. Confidence matters. But numbers don't lie. And so I think a lot of equipment companies now are putting their faith, yeah, in marketing speak. I mean, that you kind of got to explain difficult physics concepts with catchy words and easy to understand or sort of easy to understand speak. But I think most golfers kind of understand some of the key terms now. They understand moment of inertia. They understand center of gravity. You know, they kind of get adjustability. They get gear effect, I think, to an extent. So you kind of get the basics down. So if you know those things, and then you know what a launch monitor is, and the fitter tells you, hey, dude, if you just hit this driver 5 yards farther than your current one, you go, great. But you hit the next driver 12 yards farther, I'm going to take 12 over 5, and we're done here. Wrap that up, and let's go. And that is where I believe most golfers are connecting with golf clubs. I think they always have, but I think more so now, because they've got the data at their disposal with a capable fitter, and they've got the options available to them thanks to adjustability in terms of creating a golf club that really works for them. Screw everybody else. Works for them. And I think that's why you're seeing less monster signings. I think those monster signings are reserved for major champions and guys who are legends of the game or have been near number one or at number one. Everybody else is kind of not left to forage, but the deals aren't the same. They're not as much money. They're not for as long. There are probably some different incentives in there. They're just structured differently, and that's because tour guys just don't mean the same thing. It's truth. So it's interesting to see, and it was interesting to have seen it all play out for Sergio Garcia. Of course, if there are other big signings that happen that I'm just not thinking of or that haven't been announced yet, we'll put them on golfnewsnet.com, or you can find them on our Twitter account, twitter.com/golfnewsnet. We're going to try to use that to tweet out a lot of stuff that frankly isn't worth an article because everyone else is doing it. So we just want to give you the information you need to know when you need to know it and then be able to move on with your day with that kind of information. So our Twitter account, Golf News Net, is going to be a really good follow for that kind of thing in 2018 and beyond. And we're going to try to do something similar on Facebook, even though I loathe Facebook, but you got to be there, apparently. So we'll do that there too. Next week on the show, well, I guess next week, I'm so used to forever saying next week on the show. On Thursday on the show, I'm going to try to have a guest for you. Still figuring out who that is, but we're going to try to have one for you to talk a little bit about season opener and all things happening around the PGA Tour. So we're working on that, but it'll be a little bit of a surprise for you and me. So just download the show anyway. I'm sure it'll be fun. Thanks again for supporting our show in 2017. Thanks again for supporting it in 2018. GNN continues to grow despite my best attempts to screw it up. I'm just kidding. And your support is tremendously meaningful. We had basically exactly hit our goals of 50% growth on our website in 2017. We're looking for something similar in 2018. This is not a pledge drive. I'm not asking you to make more clicks. But because of you and your support, we are able to make more and more meaningful, more and more substantial goals for ourselves. And we hope to deliver on high marks. So please stay in touch with us. Let us know what you think about the things that we produce. And if there are things that you want us to do or try or check out or investigate or anything like that, my DMs are always open and you can always get a hold of me. All right, that'll do it for us on this Tuesday edition of the 19th Hole Golf Show. We'll see you again on Thursday, and Happy New Year, everybody.